Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And we go live to Ukraine now, and Joseph Lindsley. Joseph, like a lot of us, you were traveling over the weekend, I know. Where are you exactly, and where have you been?
Hey, Bob. Yes, I'm talking to you from what I think we can safely call, safely is a funny word, from the edge of the free world. I arrived last night in the city of Kharkiv. It's Ukraine, before the war, Ukraine's second largest city. I spent time there in January, and I think I told you about that before. It was a city of such creative spirit and energy. And people, when I talked to people back in January, almost everyone I met in this city said, here's my goal. If I work hard, I can achieve my dreams. And now I wanted to see the city. And it's been shelled every single day and night since February 24th. And Bob, I was in, last night we got in, I looked at the center of the city, the main square, the government buildings. Bombed out. There was a, I wanted to go to a, there was a bar I went to in January called the Old Hemingway, and I couldn't find it on the Google. I finally found it on the street, completely gone. It was a 10-story building. The bar was in the basement, totally destroyed. And right now, at this moment, I'm in probably one of the most dangerous spots in Ukraine when it comes to shelling. It's a suburb north of Kharkiv called Saltivka. Right now, we are under an air alert, and also we can hear the constant firing at the front line. Maybe a few months ago, before those amazing long-range weapons arrived in America, just a few feet from where, or maybe a few meters from where I'm standing, were trenches. This was the, oh, sorry, I have some news coming in. I'll tell you in 1 second. Anyway, right in front of me, please hold that. We can see the trenches where the Ukrainians and Russians were fighting in the streets. That's not happening now. Now, in this neighborhood, the threat is only from the sky. And it was a rude awakening this morning. We had, you know, air alarms, and you could hear shelling all night, even in a nice hotel in the center of the city. And this morning at about 9 o'clock, all the advice we were given, people said, try not to go outside until about 11 in the morning. And 9 o'clock, the building shook. It's a sound that you can never forget once you hear it. And, you know, this is the first time I heard something like that. But this is what people have lived with every single day and night since February 24th. Then maybe a minute later, there was another such noise, and it was two missiles had hit about three blocks from our hotel, and it's Russian, it's literally Russian roulette. It's if it hits your building, it hits your building, and people have in the neighborhood I'm in now. And Bob, as I look around, like there's like 12, 14 story buildings, residential high rises from the Soviet era. Almost, I barely see any intact windows. Some sides of buildings are totally burnt out. The parks and playgrounds are overgrown, and there's remains of missiles everywhere. And still people are living here. In fact, I came with some amazing volunteers called the Hero Society from Canada. There's a French army veteran here. And they came to deliver food to people through the World Central Kitchen and others. And this, so there are people still living here. And two days ago, I was reminded there was an essay by an old colleague of mine from my days when I worked in New York and Washington. Christopher Caldwell, he wrote a, we worked together at the Weekly Standard, and he wrote an essay for the Claremont Review of Books saying, you know, that America is being stupid by supporting Ukraine. And this is, I think this idea is unfortunately catching on in many circles in America. He said, he warned that complications and escalations may arise out of the Ukraine war, and that we have to be very careful about the destruction of Russia. And I was thinking I need to write a long essay in response to his long essay. I don't have the time for that, and I don't think I need to. I'm standing here, Bob, and everyone listening, looking at the destruction of free people. People who only in January had every hope in the world in front of them. They had freedom. They had liberty. They were free people. And now it's a wasteland. And it's, in this moment, everyone here is afraid. It's constant terror. I can't, I mean, it's, this is the edge of the free world. And it's anything that could create such an evil and a menace hitting civilians. Again, that building that was hit in the center of Kharkiv was a residential building today. And it's, which civilians are going to get killed today? whose house is going to be destroyed today. That is what Russia is. And if you support that, you support evil.
Joseph, we can hear the terror in your voice today. You are one brave guy. As a citizen of the United States, when you hear the warnings from our government to leave Ukraine, asking American citizens to not be there, do you ever consider leaving?
No, I think especially not now. You know, the further you get into it, the harder it would become to leave and to abandon everyone who's still together. You know, whether it's your friends or the people you meet who are fighting in different ways. No, I think for me, that's why I can't even leave for a day. Part of me, I think, is afraid of the temptation. If I went to Poland for a 2-day holiday, I might say, okay, I'll fly to Indonesia and forget about this. But I don't want that temptation. And when I see, especially when I see things so starkly as today, we have to. I have to stay.
Europe's largest nuclear plant was knocked off Ukraine's electricity grid.
Monthly right now. Now they're going to.
Sorry, you're getting some information there for us, Joseph. Go ahead.
Yeah, keep going, Bob.
No, I was just saying, is there anything new about that nuclear plant being offline because of shelling over there?
Yes. This is the other. So right now I'm in the northeast of Ukraine, and that's on the southern edge of the front lines. And so we have multiple concerns all around the country at once. But there's a lot we don't know what's going on there. All we know is that the energy company can no longer, up until yesterday, they were able to monitor the radiation levels at the nuclear plant, and now we cannot get that data. So that's very concerning. And as I look around me here, I mean, this looks like a nuclear wasteland, and the Russians would have no problem. I think we cannot ever assume that they won't do something. And then the news I was just getting, and maybe that's why we were hearing so much shelling and counter-shelling here, which I don't know if you can hear in the radio, but the Ukrainian counteroffensive out of Kharkiv City, there's a major counteroffensive happening right at this moment, not far from where I'm standing.
And one more thing about the nuclear plant, Joseph. I thought you said to us that Putin would never really do anything drastic there because Russia is so close to that plant, and he wouldn't want to endanger Russians with radiation. You still believe that?
Yeah, I think that, and I'm glad you brought that up. It would be, because a lot of it depends on the weather. And I said, you know, especially the Russians and the Chinese, you know, they have dabbled with technology and how to control the weather at the Olympics. But it's too big of a risk. And so, I think it behooves Putin instead to keep the world afraid for as long as possible. And so I really do think that's his strategy. I think that he would only do something nuclear probably if it was, look, you see, like, what I see here, the world, and thanks to you and your show and a few others, like the world, but most of the world doesn't really see this. People are starting to get bored. Mm-hmm. And so I think Putin won't have to use these tactics right now. But this is, and that essay I referred to, so, you know, we got to be careful of escalation. And so escalation means, you know, in Ukrainian terms, it means victory for Ukraine. But without some kind of escalation, you know, cities like Nikopol, from which I spoke to you last week, or places like this are just going to be destroyed into the ground. And one day, 50 years from now, we'll say, well, never again.
Mm-hmm. Joseph Lindsley, we are grateful for your reporting. As always, please be careful, Joseph, and we will check in with you tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob.